Okay, everybody. Let's bring it on back. My name is Jeff Wood. As Julie told you, I'm the other co-lead pastor here. I want to hear from you guys really quick. Let's recap that question. What is everybody looking forward to this summer? Just yell. There's not many of us here. What are we looking forward to? The beach. That was my wife. She loves the beach. I do not quite as much. Lots of beach. The lake. What else? Sand. If you can sense a theme here. Everybody wants more hours of sunshine. Everybody's excited about the weather and getting outside, right? That's pretty cool. Yeah. All right, so mine's a little different. I am excited about summer cookouts and the food. I am I guess you would call me a foodie a little bit. I like to cook, and I like sports. So if you hear me talk, you'll probably get food or sports at least once. So if you're not into either of those, I'll try to explain it. But my favorite meal to put together, I like putting together full meals. And we actually did one very much like this. I did not play the wind today. That's all right. It's fine. I got most of it memorized. So I made a steak dinner. It was Stacy's last day of school. Stacy's a teacher at Middleton High School. And we had a nice steak dinner on Friday. And what I love is the steak, right? So we grilled this nice ribeye. But then there's sides that always come with the steak, right? So I like a good Caesar salad, maybe a loaded mashed potato, and then some corn. Thank you. This is my wife and my sister-in-law. They're going to help me out as much as they can. It's awesome. All right, so now why am I talking about food and making you all hungry? Well, because with this steak dinner and with any meal, it always comes back to that main dish, right? So it comes back to the steak. Everything around it has to do with the steak. And that's important today because in the text we're reading, we're going to hear the phrase in Christ or in him a lot. So that's going to be like our steak. We're going to use that for kind of our overarching illustration, okay? But then we're going to hear about all these spiritual blessings that we have because of Christ or in Christ. So the main thing I want you to remember today is that being in Christ means Christ is the center. All of our blessings are because of him and come back to him, okay? Christ is the center, and our blessings are because of him and come back to him, all right? So that's kind of our thing. So we're going to hear in him and in Christ a lot, and we're going to hear the blessings. Now, to really drive this home, I'm going to make it really awkward, and we're going to do a little bit of participation with the sermon today, all right? So I'm going to say in who again, and you're all going to respond with in Christ. So let's practice, because I was a coach. We said practice makes permanent, not perfect. We can't be perfect, but we can be permanent. All right, so if I say in who again? All right, let's try one more time. In who again?
In Christ.
All right, I'll take it. Well, I think we're going to get really good as we go. So, well, that's page 2. Okay, so we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. It's on your physical copies as well as the digital. I'm going to read from the New International Version, NIV. So that's what we'll be in. So let's kind of get started here, and we will jump right into it. So, Ephesians 1. Starts like this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Really quick backdrop on Ephesians. Pretty widely accepted that Paul wrote it and it was written directly to Ephesus. There's some kind of debate on that. Some people aren't sure. I believe that. That's what I'm going to go with. If you want to dig into that later, I like to nerd out on that stuff with you, so I would do that over some coffee. But I do believe Paul wrote it. It was going to Ephesus. What's important about this letter, I think, is it was known as a circular letter, so it was meant to be passed around, because I find this letter to be a treasure trove of information about our identity in Christ, being a part of Christ's family, how we find ourselves in the church, which is why we titled the series for the summer, The Church God Called Us to Be, or The Church We're Called to Be. All right, so that's just really brief. Let's get into that first blessing now. This is going to be our Caesar salad of today. Verses 3 through 6. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So our first blessing is adoption. We're adopted in who again? All right, pretty good. Good. All right, so what does adoption mean? Well, adoption means we're brought into a family. And when people adopt, they choose to adopt. All right, so just how God adopted us, he chose us. He wanted us as part of his family. Now, what happens when you're adopted? To me, there's two pieces, right? There's the legal sense, so kind of the court thing. We're legally part of the family. I have two nieces that are adopted. We were actually in the courtroom when one of them went final, so we get to be there for her to legally become part of the family. Now, this would make sense at Paul's time to the Gentiles he's writing to, because it was fairly common in Gentile culture for families to actually adopt older males to become an heir, right? So if they either didn't have a son or they had a son, they're like, ah, we don't really want this guy to be the heir of the inheritance, with agreement from another family, they would adopt. So we have that kind of legal standing. So we've been adopted by God in the legal sense. Paul a lot of times writes that as justification. We're made right with God, right? And then the inheritance being our eternal life in heaven with him. So there's that legal sense. But here's the other part with adoption, and this I think is the fun part and the cool part, is we're brought into God's family, into God's community. All right, and what comes with that? We get to be a part of a family. We're not alone. All of us here, we're not alone in it. And we also tend to adopt the behaviors of a group or of people that we follow. And this happened in Paul's time. If people aligned themselves with some sort of teacher or anything, they would start to adopt the behaviors and patterns that that group had. And it's kind of, I feel like it's a little bit hit or miss with us today, because we kind of live in an individualized society, right? Like, I'm gonna do my thing, you do you, boo, you're over there, we're fine, right? But I think we do actually adopt these patterns. And I was thinking about one, and my best example comes when I went to college. I started college in 2004. I went to Edgewood here in Madison, and I went with nobody else from my high school. I knew nobody else. So I moved into the dorms, and I'm kind of a quiet, shy, keep-to-myself guy. So I'm like, but I want to be a part of this dorm life and this dorm culture, right? So how it mostly started was in appearance. Okay, I started to look and dress like these people in the dorms. Okay, I went to college completely baby-faced, hair all short and tight. And before you know it, a year in, I got hair down to my shoulders. I'm growing this awesome soul patch. And I'm like, it was not you. It was awesome. I had thick sideburns, the whole deal. All right. And then I also dressed like it. Now, this was an era, and I'm trying to remember if it was like a big Ashton Kutcher era where trucker hats became awesome at this time. All right. I owned probably 12 trucker hats within my first year of college. And we would go on eBay and we would just buy these things for no real reason. I had one, we played cards a lot, so I had like aces on it. That was my card playing hat. I bought another one that it was light blue and it had some words on it. And I bought it for no other reason other than some girl I met at a party told me I looked cute in light blue. So I bought this hat. That's why, because we were buying these things to be like the culture, to be like the people I was with. I was looking like the people in the dorms because I wanted to be a part of that group. So it's not so dissimilar with being adopted in Christ, with being part of God's family. All right, we come together as a family. All right, we're going to get in later in the letter to kind of the actions and behaviors about what that makes and what we do. That comes later. But what I want you to remember is that you have a family with God. All right, we'll go through the exciting, the good, the bad, the ugly, the painful. You don't have to go through that alone because you have a family. We'll celebrate in the excitement time, and we'll sit with you in the crappy, painful times. Right? That's being part of God's family and God's community. Right? So we're adopted in that legal sense, but also in that family and community sense. All right? So we're adopted in who again? Outstanding. You guys are getting really good at this. Okay, let's move on to blessing number two. This will be our loaded mashed potato if you're following along with my analogy here. So we're going to look at verses 7 through 10, and it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." So, blessing number two is redemption or redeemed. And we are redeemed in who again? All right. If you're annoyed with it yet, that's good. That means it's going to stick. All right, so redeemed, redeemed is an interesting word because it wasn't used a lot in Paul's day. And I feel like the way it was used is different from how we use it today. So in Paul's day, redeemed was mostly used as like a kind of like a ransom buyback. If you were to buy back a prisoner of war or a slave. So it was like being bought back from something, which I think makes a lot of sense for Paul to use that, because in Christ we were bought back from a life of sin. We talked about that at our Good Friday service. So we were bought back from our life of sin with Christ's death. But today, I think we use it more as like personal redemption stories. I feel like when I hear redeemed, I think about redemption stories. A lot of athletes go through these. We say we love a good redemption story. It's like somebody that's totally at the bottom, you know, and works their way up. You know, it's the Drake song, started from the bottom, now we hear, right? So that's what it is. It's this working your way up. My favorite example, the old classic movie, The Lion King. This is a classic redemption story. All right, we know we got Simba. He's born at the beginning. He's got everything going for him. He's going to inherit the Pride Lands. Uncle Scar sets up his dad, Mufasa, to be killed and blames it on Simba. So Simba is down at the bottom. He runs away, meets everybody's favorite, at least mine, Timon and Pumbaa. I feel like if I was a character in this movie, I would be Timon. I would be little, thinks they're a little smarter than they are, but always there for their friends and everybody. I feel like I identify with Timon really well. But he goes there, and he's like, he's still down on himself. He's feeling better. But then Nala comes back, right? Nala is who he's supposed to marry. We hear this at the beginning of the movie. If you haven't seen it, go watch it tonight. I'm going to ruin the whole thing. But so she comes back, and she's like, you left. Okay, there's no food. We might have to leave. Scar's brought in the hyenas. This is all terrible. And Simba's like, I'm not going back, not going back. Well, eventually he does this very dramatic scene. It's like classic Disney animation, slow motion run. He goes back to Pride Rock, battles Scar, always in the rain with a fire. If you've seen enough Disney movies, it's always what's happening. And he redeems himself. He becomes king. Okay, he becomes king, takes back and saves everything. His mom is good with him. All the lionesses are good. But here's the thing with Simba's story and how it's so different from ours. Simba redeemed himself. What Simba did, redeemed himself. We couldn't redeem ourselves. All right, that could only be done by God's gift of grace and through sending Jesus to become just like us in human form and die a death on the cross. That's the only way we're redeemed. Okay, so there's the difference, is our redemption was given, okay? And you might say, well, does that make it less because we didn't do anything? No, I think it's that much more powerful, because no matter how hard we try, no matter how much we work, how good we think we're doing, we couldn't have earned it. But we have a God that's that powerful and loves us that much that he gave us that gift of grace to be redeemed. So I would say that redemption is even so much stronger because we couldn't earn it, okay? So we were bought back from sin. We're forgiven of our sins. We're redeemed. And we're redeemed in who again? In Christ. Outstanding. All right, let's get to blessing number three. Okay, so we've had adoption. We've had redemption. Now we're going to look at number three. If we're going with my meal, we made stuffed mushrooms on Friday. That's what it was. So that's going to be blessing number three here. And we are going to look at verses 11 through 14, and this will be the last few verses of the day. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who are the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So I kicked around a few different words for this section, and what I landed on was sealed. Okay, so we're sealed in who again? Good. Now, whenever I hear the word sealed, I actually go straight to the Stevie Wonder song, "Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Yours," right? Steve, no? All right, yes. That was actually one of the songs Stacy and I walked into our wedding reception to, that one. So that one's always a fun one for us. But it's sealed. But what does seal mean? It means kind of a guarantee or a mark. In Paul's day, it would mean ownership or authenticity or guaranteed quality. If there was a text written, it was sealed and guaranteed authentic. A wine jar was marked with a seal to be an approved vessel. Today, any official documents, if you have diplomas, those are marked with a seal. Also, a lot of products might have a seal that we buy or a guarantee on the box, right? So I buy this microphone, all right? They might have a guarantee on the box about the microphone. Now, when I thought about guarantees of products, I went to another great movie. Who's a fan of the movie Tommy Boy? Anybody Tommy Boy? Yeah? Okay, good. All right, good. So if you know the story, Tommy has to go out on the road and sell brake pads with Chris Farley and David Spade. They have to go sell brake pads to Tommy's dad's clients. Tommy's dad passes away at the beginning of the movie. And they go visit this one client. And he says to Tommy, you know what, I like your product, I like your prices, but the guarantee's not on the box. It's not on the box. It should always be on the box, comforting you, calling out, I'm good. I'll never let you down. But if I do, I'll make it all better. And Tommy kind of fights this off, but this guy's point is this. I want it marked on the box. I want to know that this is a good product, that you stand by your product, right? We all want something that works, right? Hang on. I got it. So God gave us a seal too, though, right? And it's a down payment of our salvation. He gave us the Holy Spirit. That's what this is saying, all right? When we read the Bible, when we pray, we experience the Holy Spirit's power. We have our guarantee that what God promised us will be fully realized in heaven. But what else does a seal do? Well, a seal, it kind of puts the company out there because you're going to put your name on it. So like this mic again, the brand is called Shure. If that name is on the box, now we're starting to think, okay, that company is guaranteeing something. All right, there are expectations about it. So when we're sealed and marked by God, we represent God in the way that we live and the way that we act. So along with being sealed and having this promise, it also comes with an expectation about how we're going to act personally and socially. Are we going to spend time with God and worship God like we're supposed to? Are we going to show love and patience and kindness to those around us? We represent God marked by that seal, and we want people to see that and know that. All right, and we're going to, again, in other weeks, talk more about what that really looks like. That comes in the letter. But I think what's important is that we're sealed. We're given a guarantee. God's like, I am promising you eternal life. Here's this guarantee of it. You have the Holy Spirit in that. So we're given a seal by God, showing that we're God's. We have a promise of a future, and we represent God with how we live our lives. We're sealed. And we're sealed in who again? In Christ. All right, so what do we do with all that? We have these great blessings, right? So we have Christ. Christ is the center. All our blessings are because of him and come from him. So what do we do? Well, I would ask you to do this week. Remember that piece, that Christ is the center, all right, and that the blessings come from him. And think about that in your life. Is Christ really the center? Where isn't Christ maybe the center of your life? And what do we need to do to get Christ back to the center? Trace those blessings that you have in your life back to him. If you're a journaler or art, draw it out, write it out even if you need to. But really focus on that this week. I would encourage you to do that. Where is Christ's center? Where is he not? And draw those blessings back. All right, and in a minute, I'm going to give you some time to kind of spend some time on your own with God if you need to pray about that when we take communion. But you'll have a little time to pray about that and see if there's something God's putting on your heart for that. All right, so let's pray. God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die, that we're redeemed, God, and that he is the center of our lives. God, we thank you for the blessings that we're given. Thank you for the blessings that continue to come, God. And I pray that we would spend time today and this week, God, noticing where you're the center, God. And I pray you would put on our hearts if there's places where we've strayed from that center, God, and that we would come back to you in those ways. So, God, we thank you so much for this morning, God. In your name, amen.